Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Balls in Our Court podcast. Cortez Paul is not here today. Therefore, I am the Gilligan to this ship. The skipper is away, so the boys will play. I am here with my man, Kevin Carter, making his return. Next man of reality. Here he is.
When he leaves, wouldn't that make me skipper? Since
You're like the professor, probably.
The professor. Well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, the professor was hitting either Marianne or Ginger. So,
Can't have two skippers, pal. Can't have two skippers. So when one's away, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Right. And then back for another round is Mr. Saul from the How You Live podcast.
I guess that makes me Gilligan, huh?
No, I'm Gilligan.
Is that what it is?
No, you're not. You're the captain.
No,
you're Mr.
Cortez is the captain. He's gone.
Oh, yeah, you're Mr. Gilligan's Howell.
Yeah, you're Thurston Howell the third.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Never thought you'd be okay with being a rich white man, but here we go.
You know, hey, man. That's my I'm living my ancestor's dream.
Oh, brother. Kevin, how you been, pal? How are things?
I have been well. It's been good. Just a rainy ass. I guess Florida's going to have a rainy ass couple days. So just living in the rain.
Living in rain. Saul, how we doing, bud?
Yeah, not too bad. Work's going pretty good. Had a pretty easy day. It's been kind of a gloomy day today. So I don't know, but I kind of like gloomy days. I don't mind them. You know, it hasn't been hot. It's been perfect for me.
Yeah, no, it was a gloomy day today. I worked a little farther from home than normal, so I had a little rainy ride down the 408. That was fun and exciting, but wouldn't wish that on anybody. But yeah, man, it's been good. Got home, had some dinner, and there's been basketball on since like 7:30. So. Just been watching some good games. Boston and Philly are going on right now. I think the Knicks are still winning. So lots of good stuff happening. Not a big slate. The Magic are stomping on somebody. That was impressive.
Are they? I think they're losing to the Bulls right now.
No, they're up. They're up 50 to like 33 at halftime. They were putting up points.
Oh my goodness. Let me check. I'm looking at the Knicks game. That's what it is.
It was Magic over there
in Chicago. Oh, 90-91. Let's see. All right. Magic. Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. 50-33. They're up at that. Yeah,
Magic.
You know, I got to start eating some of my words about what I said about them because they're off to a pretty good start, but they always get off to a pretty good start. And then you know, they just kind of fizzle out. So we'll see. But anyways, go ahead.
Oh.
Doing all right there, bud?
I think he died. I think Paul is in the mid.
He's in the void.
he's having a stroke.
I wonder if he can hear us.
Paul being the Gilligan right now. Fuck, we need Skipper back.
Oh, no. We lost him. Now we lost Skipper back.
Well, since this is technically my show.
There we go.
Like, this is technically my show. Like, I'm just fucking with him now. Since he ain't on here, I can say all that shit. So we'll get started by talking about, what was it? What week were we in anyway in the NFL? 10, 11, 7?
I think it's 10, right?
12, 9. I can't keep track of them anymore. I just kind of go with the flow.
Week 9. It was week 9. There you go.
Week 9. Yeah, so the big story coming out of week 9 is what? How good the Texans all of a sudden are. The 49ers getting their mojo back, mm-hmm. courtesy of my Jet. But they got everybody back, and they made some trades in the in their bye week. So, they came out pretty well since they've got everybody back now. McCaffrey's back completely healthy. Debo was back healthy. Trent Williams was back healthy. And it's amazing what having everybody healthy does for your quarterback. Because Brock Purdy looked like he did at the beginning of the season because, well, naturally, he had all of his weapons back. And it's easy to do when you get everybody healthy and you got all that wealth you can spread it around to. Plus, you got your blind side protection back with Trent Williams, so you didn't have to worry about somebody killing you.
Mm-hmm. No, that's huge. Not to mention their defense is looking – you know, like it should be looking when you trade for Chase Young. And then you've got they got Nick Bosa on one side, Chase Young on the other side, not to mention the rest of that front seven. They're stacked. So
it was ridiculous. Wagner and their whole defense now, when you added those pieces, it was just, it's too deep. And plus we had Jaguars had a guy coming back from injury, and we were like, hey, he's a natural left tackle. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put him at left guard because we're a bunch of idiots. So we put him at left guard. The man's never played a game at left guard. So what do? We put him there after he's coming off the injury, and he just absolutely couldn't do it. There was miscommunication all over the place. They just looked like absolute crap on offense, and it was very annoying to watch, especially coming out of a bye week. But that's what happened. That's what happens when you let your wife do a after midnight birthday party and you freaking, their whole offense is at it and they're all staying out until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I don't know what I missed, but all my audio cut out, so I'm back now.
Oh, we know.
We were talking about the resurgence of the going at the 49ers and how they have kind of righted the ship.
Yeah, we can definitely start there. Yeah, so
Oh, we're already done.
Good. Cool. Hey, whatever, man. It is what it is. I'm Gilligan. I'm Gilligan. I'm off to a strong start. So
you've already the minnow. Usually it gets lost after a 3-hour tour. Your minnow got lost after a 4-minute tour.
Uh-oh, I think we lost.
Oh, look, there he goes. Wait, 7-minute tour. Oh.
All right.
So all it takes.
That's funny. What I was going to say was Travis Etienne didn't really get off to much of anything in that game.
Yeah, because the bad part with they were trying to run up the middle. Mm-hmm. And against that front seven and those guys, you can't do that. His biggest asset is you put him in space, he makes guys miss point blank. That's his game. When they ran him to the outside the few times, he gained 11, 12, 10 yards, and then they stopped doing it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And the 49ers gave you the blueprint on how to go up against the Jags right now with Press Taylor calling the offense. And that's press the receivers, get in their face, don't let them loose, cut out the short routes. And that's what the 49ers did. And every single one of those guys played downhill in their front seven. They didn't have to worry about nothing behind them because they were pressing everything. And the Jaguars just couldn't figure it out. And the offensive line for some reason, just communicated like, I don't even know. It was just bad communication. There was guys running free all over the place. It was just, it was bad to watch.
Paul, what did you think about that game?
Yeah, man, I thought the matchup between Brock Purdy and Trevor Lawrence was going to be a lot more interesting. I mean, in a big game, three losses in a row, coming off of concussion protocol. I mean, Brock Purdy showed up. You know, the Jags defense has been playing pretty well up to this point, but it's only a matter of time before the Niners got healthier and everything just started clicking for them. I mean, Brock Purdy, almost 300 yards passing, three touchdowns, no turnovers. McCaffrey ran for almost 100 yards. George Kittle, three catches for 116, so the big ball was there. It looked like the Niners that we saw the first like 3-4 weeks of the season. Everything just kind of came back. Everything was hitting. They were playing defense. They're, you know, Fred Warner and those guys are all over the field. And when they're playing like that, it's tough. Like that's how I want to see them play in a lot of these other big games. But I mean, it's a shame it had to happen against Jacksonville because Jacksonville was hot. And you know, now they're sitting at 6-3, and you have a Houston Texan team who was getting a little hot right now. Who's already beaten them once this season, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of how things play out in the AFC South because it looked like it was going to be kind of a runaway for Jacksonville, and with the way CJ Stroud's playing, makes it kind of interesting to see what's going to happen there as the season goes on.
But let's not go nuts on the CJ Stroud thing. He had these two games back to back that were pretty good. Do we remember what happened the game before that? He threw for 138 yards against the Arizona Cardinals. So it all comes back around. The NFL, we all know, it's a game of ebbs and flows. And the bad thing is we look at everything 1 week at a time. And once you have a bad week, then that's what everybody gets stuck in their mouth. So the obvious thing is to see how good the team bounces back after a beating like that and see what goes on from there. Just like the Broncos. Broncos took a 70-point ass whooping, and now all of a sudden the last 2 weeks the Broncos have looked like world beaters now because their defense has all of a sudden woken up.
Let's see. So 242 yards his first game, 384 and two TDs his second game, 280 and two TDs his third game.
Yeah, don't remind me of the
306. Yeah. 306 and two TDs his fourth game. Mind you, no interceptions, by the way, at this
point. Yeah, he hadn't thrown one, yeah.
Against the Falcons, 249 and a touchdown. Against the Saints, 199, two TDs, one interception. Finally throws his first pick against the Saints. Against the Panthers, he just had 140 yards, no TDs, no touchdowns. They lost the game, but it was a weird game. Against the Bucks, he goes for 470 yards and five touchdowns. And then against Bengals, who are a hot team, and they're the Bengals, 356 with a TD and one pick.
He's played great for a rookie.
He's playing great for anybody right now. He knows what he's doing. I don't really know what to say because he's doing it with, was it Nico Collins was out?
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of DeAndre Hopkins or no? He was on the Cardinals. Whatever, my bad. That's not even talking. He's nobody.
Ben got rid of him.
yeah. Noah Brown comes out of nowhere and has a monster game. This guy is doing. CJ Stroud is doing something that I haven't seen personally in a while, especially with the talent that they have surrounded him with, because he doesn't really have a wide receiver. Who's the number one wide receiver there? I don't know.
I mean, you couldn't name him in a lineup, that's for sure. I think that's the most impressive part. I mean, look at that rookie quarterback.
Who's the running back there? It's not David Jackson, right?
It was Pierce until he got hurt.
Yeah, Pierce got hurt at the very beginning of the season, and they were kind of in shambles a little bit. But it's crazy to see, because I said it's the two interceptions for me. Like, the guy's only made two interceptions.
Yeah.
And he just And on third down, he just looks so poised. Like, he's not afraid to – he had some big plays with his legs this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, so he's running the ball when he has to. He had a big touchdown run.
Against
a team who was probably playing some of their best football the last 3 weeks. Mm. So a red-hot Bengals team. It's hard to look at it and not, you know, start talking kind of crazy. Because, I mean, obviously he's going to be the runaway rookie of the year. It's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there are people that haven't been in a potential situation to where he can be in the MVP conversation if Houston ends up making a playoff run. Obviously, if they don't make the playoffs and they end up kind of fizzling out, you can't really give it to him because, you know, that's not how football works, I guess. But I think when you look at someone who's the most important player on their team, I don't know if anybody's more important than CJ Stroud to the Houston Texans. They're sitting at 5 wins.
Oh, yeah. Take him out. They suck.
So, you know, I don't think anyone's gotten MVP votes as a rookie since like Edgerrin James in like the 90s. And then obviously, you know, Jim Brown's like the last rookie to win rookie of the year in like 1950 something, 1957. So that's the last time a rookie won MVP of the league, but also like the league was still kind of, you know, it's not what it is now. But I mean, the stats jump off the paper. Like you can't deny the fact that this kid is just playing completely out of his mind. And
he needs to go ahead and stop.
Yeah, you're right. It was Jim Brown. That was the only time it ever happened in 1957. That's it.
Yeah.
Rookie won MVP.
So we've potentially never seen something like this before, at least not from a quarterback in their rookie year. I mean, you look at the quarterback turnover potentially of you know, number one picks and early drafted quarterbacks. And this guy is literally the best quarterback we've probably seen in close to a damn, you know, 5-6 years probably coming out. And he wasn't even the number one quarterback. Like, someone got picked before him, which is still wild to me. But guy's playing with a chip on his shoulder, man. Like, good for him good for him for not going to Carolina. Because
thank God.
I think it's a different story if he goes to Carolina. As good as he is playing right now, I just think Carolina is just not good enough. I think DeMeco Ryans is doing a hell of a job as the head coach of the Houston Texans. And that's a guy that's going to push that kid. You know, he's had some great kind of coaching trees, and he's come from a good background, and he's a strong guy who is taking full advantage of his first head coaching job. And, you know, what better way to catapult yourself than to have potentially the greatest rookie quarterback of all time on your team?
He's that player coach where they like playing for somebody who he ain't even been out of the league that long. Like, no. He legit hasn't been retired for what? Maybe 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, no, he's still built like he can go out there and play right now. So I mean,
he probably could. That's probably why their defense is playing so good. He suited up a few times and went in there and hit somebody, and then was like, "Hey, go."
Yeah, man,
I believe that.
So when I don't know if you guys have the schedule. When does Houston play Jacksonville again? Is that coming up
next week?
Next week,
okay. Not this week, but next week.
Okay, so week 12.
Yep.
There you go. So there you go. Could be a big game. Could be a.
Because this week it's fuck the Titans week.
Well, every week's fuck the Titans week for you, bud.
No, this week it's definitely fuck the Titans week because we play them. So.
That's funny.
Oh, my bad. I gotta say it like Paul says. I said it. Fuck the Titans.
That's right. Like Clayton Bigsby.
Fuck the Titans.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. All right.
Onwards I left my go. Wife because she was a Titans fan.
There you go. Oh boy! Next topic. I've been rewatching Game of Thrones, so this kind of hit me a little bit. So I want to ask you guys about who is the king of the North right now? The AFC North. Ravens. The Ravens went down to the Browns. The Bengals went down to the Texans. Pittsburgh won. You know, there's a bunch of teams there with three losses. Who's king of the North? How many teams
Pittsburgh is the Pittsburgh is the shittiest good team that I've ever seen. Like, shitty good. Like, if that's even a possibility of being a thing, they're shitty good. The thing with that whole division is they're going to beat the crap out of each other. They're going to end up splitting all the games, and then they're going to have to come down to, like, the eighth tiebreaker for whoever gets to win the division. It's that division's always nuts. But right now, the king of it, I still say it's the Ravens, just because overall they're the best-built team. Deshaun Watson going out may be a godsend for the Browns for some odd reason, because they're playing better without him. And now he's got a broken collarbone or broken shoulder or whatever. Hey, it's nothing massage wouldn't fix. So he'll be all right.
I mean, he was a big part of that win against Baltimore. He made some big plays late. But yeah, man, it's an interesting division for sure. Because, you know, Cincinnati was pushing. They were doing their thing that they do every year where they start off slow and they start to get hot towards the middle of the season and kind of ride that momentum. But Houston kind of knocked them down a little bit.
It's the Ravens. It's the Ravens at 7-3. They honestly, they shouldn't have lost to the Browns this past week. The first two games, like I said last time I was on here, they should not have lost. They've led every game this season going into the fourth quarter. Every game they've led going into the fourth quarter.
How many games?
They've lost every game. Every game they've played. So, you know, Deshaun Watson going down hurts. Cleveland's probably got, I mean, probably got like the best defense.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That defense. You know, Myles Garrett is a guy who could potentially be an MVP conversation. I mean, he's a defensive guy, but guy's got like 12 sacks.
Yeah, guy's but I mean,
doing big things. I mean,
it's not going to, Cleveland just, I don't think much is going to happen. Who's their backup? Who's the guy that they said that was going to play?
It was his name? The guy that played a couple of games early on in the year. PJ Walker?
PJ Walker. Okay. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that won't be too bad.
PJ Walker. Texas Ranger.
That's good. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Maybe the Browns can do something. We'll see.
With it potentially still being Baltimore's division to lose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How many teams from this division could potentially make the postseason? That's the bigger question. Could we get three teams out of here?
I see two most likely, because like I said, they'll end up splitting all their games with each other. So it's just how do you do outside of your division? So I still think too, because Cincinnati and Baltimore both still have a couple of tough games coming up. They still got to play Houston. I think both of them still got to play Houston, and both of them still got to play Jacksonville. So you got those games coming up. So it's just how well did they come off with their non-divisional games. So we'll see. But I see two probably.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's eventually going to fizzle out. I think they're winning a lot of ugly games. They're not playing great football, but they just keep winning somehow. I know they've had a pretty favorable-ish schedule, so it's going to come down to these shitty division good games. Yeah,
shitty good
Pittsburgh. And then I think Deshaun Watson going down kind of hurts the trajectory of the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I think they were peaking way earlier than probably people thought they might, especially with Nick Chubb going down at the beginning of the season. But that defense is good.
Now they've lost Chubb, and they lost the guy who likes to lose Chubbs.
Well, I don't know if he
Chubbs likes to lose them. Yeah.
He loses them to massage therapist. They got to get rid of him somehow.
Boy. Oh, brother. Yeah, man. So it's interesting to see. The AFC North is always
could
a wild
be worse
ride.
Could lose them to Dwight Howard.
I was waiting
there
for that.
Is. There he is.
That's what there I was waiting
for. What's up, Dwight? What's up, Dwight? All right. Next
had to
topic.
Bring it in through the back door.
Next topic. Our man Cortez isn't here today, but next one we got Buffalo Blues. What's going on with the Buffalo Bills? Is the Madden curse a real thing for Josh Allen? I know he's not injured, but he's probably having the worst season he's had as a starting quarterback in this league. Guy likes to throw the ball to the other team. But team's making a mess all over the place. You know, they were a team that ran that division the last couple of years, and it seems like everybody else caught up to them, and they're regressing. So how do we feel about Buffalo, and what do we think about the Denver Broncos at this point of the season, coming off two big wins over Kansas City and Buffalo?
Well, if your internet crap wouldn't have gone out, you would have heard how we felt about the Denver Broncos, but you weren't here for that. But that's okay. I digress. Buffalo sucks right now. Like Buffalo is about like their weather. Really, really shitty.
I think Josh Allen's been exposed. And it's weird to say that because I would take him on the Jets right now if they were going to give that guy up. I don't care. I want anybody. But yeah, it's really weird. You know what? They signed Leonard Fournette too.
Yeah,
doesn't seem
playoff
like,
Lenny. Playoff Lenny.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've been getting the running game going much. I'm not sure who's back there. James Cook or something like that. Or
yeah, it's not. It's Latavius Murray. I think is another guy they got.
No, too. Latavius Murray. I think is in Kansas City.
No, he's in Buffalo, man. Latavius Murray. I think he was their leading rusher on Monday night.
Yep. What? They got Cook, Murray, and then they went and signed Leonard Fournette. So they officially now have the oldest backfield in the NFL.
Yeah, you're gonna have a look. Stephon Diggs is angry. Trust me. And it's not looking good. It's just not looking good. I don't know if it's the line. I don't know what's going on. The defense is not bad. I just don't understand.
It's simple.
It's weird. Is it the
guy that's playing quarterback likes throwing the ball to the complete opposite team. Therein lies your problem.
They fired their offensive coordinator.
Because he got all them turnovers.
Yeah, I mean it's got to be there's a disconnect somewhere where. You know, you're seeing this regressing of Josh Allen's play, and you're just not the offense looks stale, and I don't know. It's not good. It's just not looking good. I don't know what it is, but I don't mind it because that just leaves the door open for the Jets to possibly beat them again this coming Sunday, which leaves the window open for possibly Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Oh boy.
And wanting to play and taking over and us going to the playoffs and us winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, I said it. Aaron Rodgers smoking a peyote in his Achilles. Whatever.
So are you. You are smoking some peyote too over there.
Oh man.
Someone's got to say it. I don't care.
You're smoking a lot today. Of it.
We'll
you're
see
smoking
what
a lot of it. And you're probably wearing some high waters because the shit was getting deep on that one.
Listen, if it means that Aaron Rodgers can magically come back and walk on the field like Jesus walked on water, pack my pipe with peyote.
Oh my gosh. Please say Art, that someone on this show did not just compare Aaron Rodgers to Jesus walking on water. Oh Lord, forgive us.
It's raining outside.
There are thunderstorms. No one needs to be struck by lightning.
With his spiritual as that guy is, he's closer to Jesus than anybody, probably.
I don't know who he's close to. I don't know if not my Jesus, but
he ain't my Jesus.
Whatever. He's coming back from a torn Achilles in 4 months. I don't know how he did it.
The only thing Aaron Rodgers has got in common with Jesus is that they both went into a cave and 3 days later they came out.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
That's the only thing they got in common.
But yeah, I don't know. To get back to Buffalo, I have no idea what's gonna. We'll see what happens. We'll see who takes over the play calling now. What they start to do. We'll see if they can get Leonard Fournette in shape, in game shape, I guess, and get him, because it's been a couple weeks since they signed him already. He hasn't. He's just sitting there on the sideline. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Well, the QB pictures
they shared of Leonard Fournette, he looked like he was ready to go. I mean, dude was out there in short shorts while everybody else is wearing sweaters, and he was letting the dogs out all over the practice field. But for some reason, yeah, he's just not playing any snaps yet. And having a running back by committee when your quarterback is giving the ball to the other team, it's not a good look.
Uh-uh. Hmm.
So, segueing off of Saul's high hopes for the New York Jets, how do we? I already heard the tail end of the Jacksonville stuff, so you don't get into that. But how do you assess your team's performance from last week? How you feel
they
about
fucking
the Jets?
Suck?
How you
what,
feel about
the Jets? Yeah, last week. What they lost to who did we play? I don't
the
know.
Raiders.
The Raiders. Yeah. No, are you kidding me? What a joke is all I have to say. But I think we need to give props to the Raiders and Antonio Pierce, because they don't really have much of anything except Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. And they weren't using them at all the past, I don't know, all of the season before these last two games. And Antonio Pierce decided to, hey, I've got Josh Jacobs is the best player I've got on this field. Let me use him. And that's what's happening. Good for them, man. Good for them rallying behind their coach and I mean, eking out a tough win, because it was an ugly game. It was an ugly game.
Y'all had a couple touchdowns overturned too. I mean, it could have, you know what I mean? Y'all beat yourself probably, I guess you could probably say.
And I don't know if I want to blame Zach Wilson anymore as much. I still kind of do, because he kind of, I mean, God, it's not.
He doesn't jump out at you as somebody who's doing anything great. But
let me see what I got here.
He's not really doing anything terrible. I mean, he had a rushing touchdown that was called back, which was kind of a bummer. And they had a. Another play too in the end zone that was called back too, but you know it was tough. It was tough because y'all were in that game, going up against a rookie quarterback.
It's our defense that keeps us in it. It's our defense. Mm-hmm. That's who I feel bad for, because our guys somehow, you know, we just lose focus and costly turnovers at the worst times. Fumbles, whatever, you know, it's I don't know, high snaps, like it's frustrating to watch. But yeah, the Jets fucking suck the last 2 weeks. We should have beat the Chargers. We should have beat the Raiders. We'd be sitting on top of the AFC East right now, because we beat the Bills, and we'd have a better record than everybody else in there, I think. Or did the Dolphins lost, didn't they?
Well, they had a bye week. Yeah. I mean, if you look at some of your losses, like, listen, I'm a Giants guy, whatever, but if you look at some of your losses, you only gave up 15 points to the Patriots and lost. You beat the Eagles. You lost 27-6, but that's just because the offense couldn't get anything going. And then, you know, 16 points to the Raiders could have easily been a W too. So
if we could have scored a touchdown,
mm-hmm.
That's all.
Got to score in the red zone. Got to score in the red zone.
If we could have scored a touchdown in like what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you could probably take four losses off of that. If all we had to do was just score one touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane. It's mm-hmm. frustrating.
Yeah. One loss by six, one loss by five. I mean, it's your defense can only do so much, and it's a hell of a defense, but when the offense can't can get you going. It's crazy. And it's a shame too, because Breece Hall is having a pretty good season coming off of a major knee injury. I mean, guy was leading the league in rushing yards per carry, I think, going into last week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, you have a lot going for you. And I think you're right, though. I think it gets old just blaming Zach Wilson for everything. I think it's more than that. And
our line is Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
I blame his mom.
Horrible. Oh. I don't blame his mom.
No, I blame his mom for having all them hot friends.
Oh boy!
All right, I'm distracted.
But talking about the Raiders. Raiders are another one of those teams that where they got a former player now that's their interim head coach, and they're rallying around those former players. A lot of teams now are going to start looking at former players to become coaches, just because they see the way that the team is rallying around them. And the key is these former players. Go out and get them a bunch of people that know what they're doing as coordinators and such, and then they can be the figurehead, and then they can go out and they can talk to the team and they can get them going. And then, yeah, it's going to become a thing where a lot more players are going to get a lot of looks at coaching.
Yeah, no, it's great to see like an Antonio Pierce get that opportunity, and just seeing how broken the Raiders were 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. That team was a hot mess with Josh McDaniels there, and now they're winning games. I mean, sure, they beat the Giants and the Jets, but they're smoking cigars afterwards. They're having a fucking time.
It's what happens when you get poison out of your system.
You think the guy will find another coaching job again? You think Josh McDaniels gets another go at this? You think
he'll probably go to college
as an assistant?
This is what'll happen. He'll go to fucking Alabama like everybody else does. And he'll go through the Nick Saban car wash at Alabama for a couple of years. And then boom, he'll get another job somewhere else.
Yeah, I could see him running into the college ranks. I could see him going to Michigan or something crazy after Harbaugh leaves.
I wouldn't mind him coming and being the offensive coordinator at Florida.
Oh man, that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't mind it at all.
That would be great. That would never happen, but that would be great.
Yeah, I can hope.
For sure. What do we got next,
Paul? Well, for me, I'm just going to talk about the Giants for 5 seconds. Oh, brother, those guys stink. So say what you want about the Jets right now, but Giants are fucking stink, man. Hey. At the end of the day, at least we didn't give up 70. I thought we were gonna.
Tommy DeVito.
I thought we were gonna Tommy for a minute. DeVito. For a minute there, I thought Dallas was gonna score 70. I mean, Dak Prescott was throwing the ball all over the field. At some point, I feel bad because that team's just gonna implode, and they'll probably let Wink Martindale go as a defensive coordinator. They'll probably do a bunch of stuff, and quite frankly, just nothing's gone right. And whatever. I guess we're in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes now.
Wasn't Wink Martindale one of the dudes that did like those game shows?
No, that like, was, I mean, maybe. Wait.
Like a guy's name was Wink Martindale. I swear to goodness.
I mean, he probably hosted like Million Dollar Pyramid or fucking one of those shows in the 70s.
It was like Wink Martindale. He like did the dating game or Name That Tune or some shit.
Yeah,
like
it was one of those. One of those shows in the 70s, probably. I don't know.
No, he's absolutely right. Wink Martindale. He's best known for hosting Gambit from 72 to 76, and then again, 80-81, Tic-Tac-Doe. Yeah, a bunch of radio.
Tic-Tac-Doe.
High Rollers and Debt. Yep.
He did all kinds of shit. Yeah.
Well, Wink Martindale can get fired from the Giants and go host a game show somewhere. Or he'll probably just go to a local bar and host Giant Jenga one night or something, because that's about where he's at right now.
Giant Jenga.
Just host Giant Jenga because he's great at just watching things collapse.
I mean, is Wink Martindale still alive?
Oh, I don't know, but
the OG,
he's the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants.
I don't think the game show host is still alive. I think
the game show host is 89. He's still alive. He was born in 33.
Shit, he's still fucking alive. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's wild.
Good for him.
Good for old Wink.
Old Winky.
Good for old Winky Dink.
He probably could be a good defensive coordinator too.
Hey. Probably. I mean, tic-tac-toe, man. He'll bring in the money over there. So it is what it is. But yeah, Giants fucking stink. And I'm just gonna skip this segment the rest of the year. I'm not even gonna talk about it. There's nothing to assess. It's like trying to assess a kid, like a potty training a child, and it's just like, did they poop? Yeah, they did. They shit the bed again. Yeah, they shit the bed again. Every week, just shit everywhere. They don't know how to use the fucking toilet, and it's just bad news. That's exactly what me watching the Giants is like. Is me trying to just be proud of them for going to the bathroom, and they just fucking shit themselves. And that's about it.
Yeah, that's tough.
Anyway. Then the one week they'll win, and he'll be like, "Look, I peed in the toilet."
Yeah. Then you get him. You get him pull ups, and then they just shit all in those too. Doesn't make a goddamn difference. Anyways, on a more positive note, player of the week. Who are we inviting to the cookout this week? Thanksgiving's right around the corner. Lots of good food to be had. Who are we inviting to the cookout? Who's your guys' player of the week?
I don't know. I'm going CJ Stroud still. He's a rookie and he beat the Bengals. That's huge. I don't care. That's somebody else's and I stole it. My bad. But
no, it's fine. We did the same thing last week where it was clearly going to be CJ Stroud and we just found two other guys to use. So CJ Stroud finally gets his invite to the barbecue. So
he's there. Are you kidding me? It's a wrap. He can have whatever he wants. It doesn't even matter at this point.
I'll invite Brock Purdy. His welcome back dinner from playing like poop the last few. Welcome back, Brock. You're back to where you were in week 3 or 4.
That a boy, Brock.
Yeah, Brock I like Purdy, that.
Brock Purdy coming in hot. I'm gonna invite David Montgomery from the Detroit Lions. Guy came back from injury. He's been out. Coming in. That was a fucking shootout between the Lions and the Chargers. And David Montgomery, he had a big run. He had 116 yards off 12 carries, almost 10 yards a carry.
Is that two weeks in a row, though, somebody's invited David Montgomery?
No, I invited him early in the season when he was playing really well. Then he got hurt. And then I invited the rookie, his first start.
Last week.
Jameer Gibb, yeah. So that guy, mm-hmm. So, kudos, David Montgomery. I mean, I could have went George Kittle, but you took Brock Purdy. I mean, there was a lot of big games had, but Detroit showed a lot last week. I mean, they were going back and forth, and the fact that they were able to close out that game showed a lot of poise in that team. And Jared Goff, I mean, shit, Jared Goff could come too. 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers.
And Jahmyr Gibbs could come again too. Both of those running backs went over 100 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, look at that, over 200, almost 200 yards rushing, and then the entire Lions offense, man. Dan Campbell is just Motor City Dan Campbell, MCDC, just out here. Just again, former player coach. It's showing the trend of these guys who aren't super old. They still have a pulse on the league. They know how to talk to their players and know how to maximize their talent. So honestly, Dan Campbell is the guy I'm gonna invite to the cookout just for the way he's running this team. So Motor City Dan Campbell, come on down to the cookout, and we'll give you some some chicken legs and stuff, so you don't got to eat any human legs. But
wow,
you know,
kneecaps,
kneecaps, no kneecaps, no biting people in the kneecaps. This is a family friendly function. We're not going to do that. So, yeah, man. So it was an interesting week 10. A lot of the bigger teams had buys. So I'm going to kind of skip the top 5 because a lot of teams didn't play. So instead of our top 5 teams through 10 weeks, I want to have a little fun here, and I want to go top five Thanksgiving sides.
Oh, sides.
So, sides.
Mashed potatoes.
So ham and turkey already out. So
right.
Because
we're talking sides. Right.
Yeah, you gotta have mashed potatoes. You gotta have corn on the cob. Some kind of corn.
What kind of crazy shit are you going to?
Corn? Yeah, some kind of corn. I like corn on the cob.
Is it fucking engines inviting you guys over for shit? What the hell is going on? Let's
see. We got like rice and beans at my house too, you know.
We have fresh corn off cob.
Corn off cob.
Cob corn.
I don't know. Man, all of it's so good. I don't even know.
Come on, man. You can do it. Kevin got it. Go ahead, Kevin. Let's all think about it. Go ahead. Throw all five. Go ahead. I got five, too. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Number five would, of course, have to be green beans with the bacon strips in it and all cooked up and simmered nice. Four, of course. You can't have Thanksgiving without stuffing or dressing, if you want to call it that. Three, my mom makes this and everybody loves it. I'll enjoy a little bit of it, but broccoli casserole, she makes it. It's a Southern white people thing. Two, of course, you can't have a good meal and dip all that stuff without having some rolls, man. You gotta have the good rolls, the good fresh yeast rolls. And then my number one is sweet potato casserole.
You got a whole lot of casserole on that plate, pal.
That's a lot of casserole.
Look here, we are Southern folk. We eat the fuck out of anything that has roll at the end of it. Whatever casserole. We'll eat anything, the shit out of
anything you can put in one of them nice ceramic dishes and just bake it.
Exactly. Anything you can put in that and then later on could transfer nicely into Tupperware. Bingo. That's the shit you gotta eat.
This guy had rolls really high up on the list.
I like it. All right.
Also, fun fact, speaking of rolls, did you know that the week of Thanksgiving, you can go to Texas Roadhouse and they will give you, you could order, I mean, you have to buy them, but you could order Texas Roadhouse
rolls. I used to work at Logan's Steakhouse, same thing. But
they will sell you frozen rolls.
No.
Just take home and bake.
The 2 days before Thanksgiving, motherfuckers would come in and they would get them from us raw. That way they can proof at their house, poof up, and then they shove them in the oven, but they would do it 2 days in advance.
Wow.
Yo.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving hack for all your people that are...
But that's why rolls are so high up there. They play an integral part as a sponge for a lot of our casserole.
They do. A roll's a roll, and a little roll. We don't get no rolls.
A little roll for the casserole.
A little roll for the casserole. Hey.
All right. So I'm going to go. I think you're kind of right. I'm going to go stuffing five. I'm going to go green bean casserole four. I'm going to go rolls, Hawaiian rolls, biscuits, whatever you got. Give me something to soak up all the goodness. I'm going to go macaroni and cheese.
There you go.
Give me some mac and cheese. You can put bacon in there. You can put whatever you got.
Mm-hmm.
Nice homemade cheesy mac and cheese. And I'm going to go mashed sweet potatoes. So mashed potatoes, but sweet potaes. I love sweet potaes. You can just put sweet potaes at number one, period, because you could do some of these. I'll just take sweet potaes as the number one side because you could have
sweet potato casserole, man.
You can have sweet potaes. Yams, whatever you want to call them, whatever you got.
You put the marshmallows on top of them, and then melt the. Oh God, damn it! I'm hungry.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going. That's my top five.
Let me see. All right, so Spanish Thanksgiving, it's a little different because
culture.
Yeah,
culture
we have moro. Moro is like brown rice with like guandules. I don't know how to say guandules.
Beans.
They're not beans. They're guandules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. They're like like, I don't know, little brown peas or something.
Okay, I know what you're talking. Oh, yeah, those things. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, but I don't know.
You so
know,
rice and beans.
Yeah, a variation of that. But that's like a staple. That's there. Mashed potatoes for sure. Mash and gravy. It's that's a
there you go.
You gotta have that. We like sweet plantains. Sweet plantains are really good. So I know my mom always makes those. It's pretty good. And yeah, the stuffing. The stuffing's huge. Stuffing's gotta be on point. Mm-hmm. Is that five? Am I good on five there?
That was four.
That's four. That's four. You got one more.
Well, I'm going back to corn. Some sort of corn. Some sort of cornbread. Some sort of corn casserole.
Ooh, cornbread's a good one.
You know,
good,
yeah, cornbread.
You will eat your cornbread clad.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. Cornbread. But yeah, those are Thanksgiving staples right there.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But here's the more important question. What the fuck was that?
That was me pulling up the NFL schedule and then one.
Oh, okay. The more important question is,
yeah,
what is your top dessert?
Mm.
Ooh.
Like, what's the one dessert that you have to go, you know what? Cut me a piece.
Mm. My mom makes this really good, like, pumpkin bread. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
Ooh. So you have that shit for breakfast? You have it for
dude, yes.
Oh, man.
You can have it all the time.
Yep. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, glass of milk. Can heat it up or toast it. Oh, it's so good.
Is it in roll form? It.
No, it's like a loaf. So it comes in like a loaf and you come in slices. Oh, my God. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
Yes. Man, that's got to be it.
I need go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, I mean, any kind of pie for me, really, for Thanksgiving, a pumpkin pie, a good apple pie, yeah, some poontang pie, whatever kind of pie you got. But I love pie.
I love pie,
my man. We have this thing we called banana split cake.
Oh,
so on the bottom. You got to describe it to people for them to get it. On the bottom is a graham cracker crust.
Oh, I like it already. Enough said.
Then the next layer, it is a cream cheese mixed with whipped cream with pineapples and bananas and all that kind of mixed into it. Then you get another layer of nothing but whipped cream.
Oh, that's a lot of whipped cream.
Then you get more bananas. And then guess what? More whipped cream.
Oh, that's too much whipped cream.
Yeah, that's
and too then much some and then some cherries on top. You talk about clog your heart, make you want to take a nap before the next football game comes on. That's it right there. People are like, why do you weigh that much? Well, because if you saw my family, all their fat asses made me go in late. That's why I'm skinny.
I mean, you essentially, what'd you say this thing was called?
Banana split cake.
I mean, you basically next time just, you, talk, you basically just made next, the biggest cream pie of all time.
No, next time you call the Cortez, next time you talk to Cortez, you ask him about it.
He made a banana.
He cream was pie. Here. He was here for Thanksgiving one time, and he ate with us. And his mama, God rest her soul, she looked at Cortez and said, like any mama would do, did they feed you, baby? His exact words were, Mom, not only did they feed me, but they fed me. And if you know what that means in black folk talk, that means the boy ate. And he ate too much.
Oh man, this.
But yeah, next time, ask Cortez. Next podcast, ask Cortez about the banana
split cake. By the time you fed him,
oh yeah, we fed that boy a bunch. Hey, we fed that boy a bunch.
Oh brother, I think we just spent more time talking about Thanksgiving food than we did football.
Yeah, that's good. Because we all three of our teams wasn't worth talking about, but food is.
That's true. Tis the season. And I am thankful for Thanksgiving. All right. On to serious business. I was kind of busy and I forgot to tally the wins and losses from last week. So that's my bad.
It was fucking terrible.
It wasn't great. Yeah. No.
We can skip that.
It's not important. I'll have it all right come next week when I sit here and decide if I want to drink cyanide or not.
It was fucking horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyways, week 11. Here we are. Home stretch of the season. A lot of important matchups happening. We're going to start off with Thursday night. Bengals at Ravens.
Holy shit, there's a good Thursday night football game. Everyone fucking take your whatever and throw them in the house and watch this shit because we finally
Amazon,
got a good
Amazon
one.
Did it. Took them 11 weeks, but Amazon did it.
Yep.
Amazon's like, we got one! Like Ghostbusters. They were like, we got one!
I don't know. I'm going, where's it at? In Cincy?
In Baltimore.
I'm going Ravens.
Kev?
I will take, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I'm feeling that chill, feeling that little burr. I'm gonna go Joe Burrow. Cool Joe's gonna come in, rebound. I'm gonna go with the Bengals knocking out the Ravens. And then it just opens up a whole lot of interesting stuff happening here. Cortez rides with Baltimore. That's his Super Bowl pick. Cortez is riding with the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore and Detroit. That is who Cortez is going to pick forever.
Forever till the dawn of time. Mm-hmm. All right. No more Europe games. No more Germany. No more London. We're back to just regular old fashioned American football. The Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
The AFC North is about to get figured out real quick after.
Exactly. I'll take Pittsburgh. They just somehow find a way to pull off games in the ugliest manner humanly possible.
I'm going Cleveland. They rally. They keep the momentum going. That defense is too much. I think the defense pulls it out for Cleveland.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those ugly games. And I think backup quarterback starting for Cleveland again up against old Kenny Pickett out there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm gonna go Cleveland as well. Just defense is too good. Cortez is riding with the Browns also. So three, Kevin, this one's this is your chance for greatness, pal. Next up, the Chicago Bears at Detroit Lions.
Oh, okay. Fucking hell.
Yeah, come on, Detroit.
Cortez on this one.
Yeah, well, pick Detroit next game.
Yeah.
Detroit across the board. All right. Los Angeles Chargers at Green Bay Packers.
Ooh. Oh.
That's a good one.
I'll take the artist formerly known as San Diego Chargers.
In Lambeau, huh?
In Lambeau. Mm. I know how you feel about Jordan Love, though. Mm. You don't love him.
He's a bum. Yeah, I'm going to have to go San Diego or L.A.
Whale's vagina.
Got it. Got it.
Whale's vagina.
The Whale's vagina Chargers. Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Chargers. Just because, yeah, Jordan Love stinks.
Whereas the locals call it San Diego.
Cortez also riding with the Chargers.
Okay.
All right. Las Vegas Raiders at Miami Dolphins coming off a bye.
The Raiders. I'm going Raiders. I'm riding that. They got a two-game win streak going. They're coming into Antonio. They're coming into Miami. They're focused. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. Raiders.
Fins up.
Yeah, I think Buffalo, with Buffalo real, and I think Miami can, this is their opportunity to pull away. They're playing a bad team. These are the games they typically win. So I'm going to go Miami, just because the track record has proven that they can easily roll through these games. Coming off a bye, they're well prepared. Miami Dolphins. Cortez also rided with the Miami Dolphins. So Saul, you're on the Raider train. You and Fox.
Vroom, Fox.
Riding for Fox.
Let's go.
Next 1 o'clock, New York Giants at Washington Commanders.
Fucking hell.
You said Commanders, and I wrote down Redskins still.
They're the ones who serve corn on the cob.
Washington shoves a corn of cob up their ass.
Yeah, I'm with Kev on this one. Commanders.
You know what?
Just do it.
G-men, baby. Let's go.
Oh, God.
If there's ever a chance for them to win a football game, just give it to Saquon. Just give it to Saquon.
The Danny DeVito led.
Let him play quarterback. Who gives a shit? Let just Saquon just fuck it. Put him in middle linebacker. I don't care. Put him everywhere on the field. But I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Giants, and Cortez is also riding with the Giants.
Wow!
Yeah, baby. All right, next 1 o'clock. Dallas Cowboys at Carolina Panthers.
Jesus Christ!
Is this a trap game for the Cowboys?
Hell, fuck no!
This be a trap game for the Cowboys.
Oh fuck no! The Panthers fucking suck.
Oh, I hate it, but the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas. Dallas is playing really good right now offensively. I know earlier in the year their defense was carrying them, but their offense is rolling, and they are putting up points against these bad teams.
Look, if your coach is taller than the opposing team's quarterback, you're automatically getting picked.
That's true. Yeah, I'm gonna go Dallas also. Cortez also goes with Dallas. Sorry, Carolina.
Carolina.
Still got some good barbecue out there, but other than that, nothing going for you.
Oh, Carolina.
Anyway, next 1 o'clock, the Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oof. Fuck the Titans. Go Jags.
Oh man, that's tough. I like Will Levis. I do.
Fuck Kentucky too.
I know. Titans, you're right.
Tampa Bay put Tennessee in a body bag last week.
You know what? Let's go with the Jags. I think they right the ship. Travis Etienne gets in the end zone, they win.
Okay. If there's ever a team to do it against, it's going to be the Tennessee Titans. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville. And Cortez, I'll take Jacksonville. So another sweep for Jacksonville. Don't let us down, boys. Don't let us down. The last 1 o'clock game, the Arizona Cardinals at Houston Texans.
Houston.
I'm going Cardinals. Kyler Murray's back.
Hey, I wish. I hope. Trust me.
I think this one's going to be fun. I'm going Cards. Didn't the Cardinals win? Didn't they have a good
Cardinals won last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still fucking stink. I'm riding the CJ Stroud train. I'm going Houston. It's hard to lose when your quarterback's not giving the ball to the other team. So I just think
you're absolutely right.
Cortez going with Arizona. So there you go.
Oh man, yeah, I don't know. He didn't really play that well last week.
We're splitting down the middle. It's not his fault. The new Call of Duty came out. He was preoccupied. He had shit to do.
I heard the storyline isn't that good, like the story in the game, but
I don't know. You have to add him; he'll be able to tell you probably.
Yeah,
whatever. The coach for Houston's taller than Kyler Murray. So.
Well, D'Amico Ryan's taller than a lot of people.
Exactly.
All right, first 4 o'clock: Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 49ers.
49ers.
49ers. Yeah.
Poor Baker Mayfield. Oh, brother.
Against that defense, Jesus, criming.
Yeah. San Francisco. by a lot.
And Tampa can't stop a nosebleed.
No, not at all. So
their DBs suck. Their front seven, still good. Old DBs suck.
Yeah, this is where San Francisco kind of gets hot again. There's our riding momentum, I think, here. But, yeah, San Francisco for me, and Cortez also goes San Francisco. So Niners across the board there. 425, New York Jets at Buffalo Bills.
Oh, you already know what I'm going with. You already know where I'm going with. Let's go. Yeah.
Y'all gonna get in the end zone?
Yeah, Josh Allen's done. He's done for.
They might get in the end zone because Josh Allen throws a pick six.
I mean, he's been getting picked off by lesser defenses, that's for sure.
I'll take it.
He's got picked off by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the week for me where I want to see what Buffalo is made of. So I'm gonna take Buffalo at home. I think if they lose this game, it's the end of Buffalo as we know. I think that team completely implodes after the season and probably just gets rid of a lot of people. So I'm gonna take Buffalo. I'm not 100% on that one, but I'm gonna take Buffalo just because the Jets offense has been pretty bad the last few weeks. If the Jets were rolling a little bit, and you know, it's tough to say, but they can't get in the end zone. So it's just Greg Zuerlein can't beat the Bills by himself. Oh, Legatron.
I'm going to take the Jets.
Hey, there it is. All right. Cortez going with Buffalo as well. 425, the Seattle Seahawks at Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to take the Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with Seattle too. Seattle's all right. The Rams are kind of reeling a little bit. Cortez going with the Rams, though. Cortez believes
the Los Angeles Rams of Anaheim.
Oh, he believes in the Rams. All right. Sunday night football. I don't know what's up with the – I don't know. Must be that Walmart money. I don't know. But Minnesota Vikings at Denver Broncos.
We'll go with the Broncos.
Yeah, Broncos.
Minnesota's on a roll. I said they stunk earlier in the year. They made me eat my words. Josh Dobbs.
Goddamn Josh Dobbs.
Playing some solid quarterback, man.
This is where it ends.
I don't know, man. You got big brain. Look at the big brain on Josh.
Denver's defense has been playing pretty good the last couple weeks, and I hate to say that because, you know, everyone still remembers them getting destroyed by the Dolphins 70-20.
They figured some shit out.
But yeah, they did. They got something going on there. Denver's going to take this one, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go Minnesota. Cortez is taking Denver, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
They write his paychecks.
Yes.
Monday Night Football. Philadelphia Eagles at Kansas City Chiefs.
Did we get three halfway decent primetime games after last week's three shitty-ass primetime games?
Mm. That's going to be good, boy.
Amazing.
Philly gets revenge.
Philly's going to win all because of one thing that I found out. If a quarterback goes on the Peyton Manning and Eli Manning show for Monday Night Football, the next week they fucking lose.
Mm.
I recently found that out.
Interesting.
Guess who was on it? Guess who was on it Monday?
Pat Mahomes, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Guess who was on it the Monday before? Trevor Lawrence.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yes. So, yes. So I'm going with the week after. People have sucked. So I am taking the Eagles.
Well, I have another stat for you, Kev. Quarterbacks who are sponsored by State Farm win Super Bowls. So I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes to beat Jalen Hulu Has Live Sports.
So you're saying Mahomes is going to throw a lot to my auto.
That's it. He's going to throw it to Mahomes and auto.
Mahomes, motto, get on the field.
And Andy Reid's going to want to know about the Nuggies.
How much is it to bundle them nuggies?
So I'm gonna go Kansas City.
I'll take the Eagles.
And also because fuck the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Philly.
Even though I love what AJ Brown's doing. AJ Brown is
who did Cortez take?
Pretty good. Cortez is going with Philly.
Yeah.
So I'm the only one riding with Kansas City, huh? All right. Okay. All right. We'll get you.
All right.
Cool. All right. There we go. Week 11, baby. All right. Week 11.
All right.
There we go.
So all right. All right. All right.
All right. So the last little thing I want to kind of touch on while Saul's here, he's a fellow basketball guy here to go along with Kev. But I know we were all making a big deal about the James Harden trade, you know, a couple weeks ago. And boy, Philly doesn't miss him, huh?
No, they won like 8 in a row. They just lost, I think, last night or the night before or something.
They lost tonight, I think. Did they lose to Boston?
Boston.
They were losing.
Well, Boston's another good team, so it's not bad. But yeah, they got rid of him. They go on a win streak. The Clippers get them, and the Clippers haven't won a game since. I think they've lost like 6 straight or something like that. It's insane.
The emergence of Tyrese Maxey for Philadelphia. That kid's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's really good. They got really lucky with him. It allows Tobias to play like he did. I mean, I don't think Tobias is anything special, honestly, but he's a complimentary piece for that offense. And
yep.
I think they got a bunch of guys that want to play now and they're moving the ball. And I mean, former MVP, last year's MVP, you can't come out dead in the water like that, especially with all the stuff that was going on with James Harden and all the comments he said, and then you get rid of him and, you know, all the hoopla, and then now everybody's like watching you and seeing what you're going to do. And I was over here talking about like that was pretty much it. Philly's going to blow up the rest of the team and hopefully they'll trade Embiid and they go on this win streak. And hey, you know, good for them. Philly's still a top team in the East. Milwaukee's struggling a little bit, but they'll figure it out. I think the Heat are starting to figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'm surprised about the Magic, like I said earlier. But they always do this. They always start off hot. And I think right around January, February, and the All-Star break, that's kind of when, you know, we'll really see if this team can keep it up. And the reason I say that is because they just don't have the depth in the bench. That's a lot of what kills the Magic team. If we want to talk, you know, objectively speaking here, if we really want to look at this team and if they can sustain the winning that they're doing right now, that's the reason why they have no bench.
And they're a pretty bad third quarter team. Like they're pretty bad.
They can't. Here's the problem with Orlando right now is they can't shoot. Like they do have a halfway decent bench right now, but none of them can shoot right now. They were throwing up bricks like freaking Mason workers last night. Like it was bad, and they were doing it tonight as well. But it's just they have to get shooting. They have to get their guys going. Pablo hasn't exactly lit the world on fire to start this year off in his sophomore season. So if they can figure things out, they'll be okay. But they just right now it's the shooting makes you want to cuss. And if you watch Cortez on X, the shooting does make you want to cuss.
Well, it's funny because they drafted Jet Howard, who's a shooter, and the guy is not even getting on the court. They almost blew. They almost lost the game tonight. They barely won 96-94 after that crazy lead they had at the half.
Bad third quarter team, man.
They come out of bad third quarter
team. They're a real bad third quarter team. I do want to shout out Kev because as we're kind of through 3 weeks of the season. When the Dame Lillard trade happened, Kev said the most important piece of that trade was Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Boston got Drew Holiday. And boy, are they reaping the benefits of getting them a Drew Holiday.
It's the defense.
It's the defense. It's the veteran leadership. It's the fact that he can make plays. He doesn't need the ball in his hands a whole lot. I mean, having to, you know, play with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I mean, earlier in the game against Philly, he was backing Maxey under the hoop and just muscling him up.
Yeah, he's big, he's strong.
What they did was they said, you know what? As good as Marcus Smart is on defense, he is fucking terrible on offense. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go get a better version of Marcus Smart. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what they did. They didn't lose a lot in defense, but they gained a lot in offense. Mm-hmm. And he was the most important part of that trade, hands down whatsoever, because Dame right now is struggling to find his rhythm in that offense because they've got too many guys that need the balls in their hands.
Well, he wasn't even traded to the Celtics. What happened? He got traded to the Blazers. I think they bought him out or whatever. He
traded to the Blazers. No, the Blazers traded him to Boston.
Oh, that's right, for Robert Williams and
Marcus Smart. They were
going to
trade him.
He wasn't going to stay there. No, Marcus Smart's in Memphis.
No.
They traded Marcus Smart a couple months ago.
They went all kind. There was he was the most important piece in the whole thing. Like, because wherever he was going to end up being put, because it's just like I said, when they sent him over to Portland, I said, he ain't staying there. They're going to send him somewhere else to get whatever. Mm-hmm. And whoever gains him is going to have the upper hand on this because the man plays defense. Like, he was the only guy that got traded that plays defense and is okay on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, so I said kudos to Kev. Kev called that out. Kev sniped that one, and everybody was talking about Dame Lillard going over there with Giannis, and then Drew Holiday falls in the lap of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which honestly, I still feel like Jaylen Brown hurts that dynamic. I think the guy just turns the ball over too much.
Jaylen is there. James Harden.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that because
that's what he is. He is a ball heavy shooter, is what he is, and he ain't got no left hand. But he's ball heavy, ball reliant shooter, and when he has his off nights, and when he no shows in the playoffs, they go away, and he's been. Every playoff series that they've lost or they've had struggled in, he was the factor in which made them lose that series. It wasn't because Tatum was off. It's because he was off. So that's why I'm not saying he's James Harden bad. I'm just saying he's their James Harden, where he kind of throws everything off to where if he's not going right, they're screwed.
Yeah, I think someone like a Jaylen Brown too. I think he really makes you appreciate how good Jason Tatum is, because
that boy's good.
There's a lot of, like, because that guy, he doesn't even take a lot of shots. I mean, that guy's shooting 15 to 18 shots a game.
He's efficient.
Very efficient. He's an improved 3-point shooter, and it's just crazy that you throw in a Drew Holiday into that lineup and
they're perfect. Their perfect player that they got besides Drew was Porzingis, because he is a perfect fourth option. Like, he's that tall. He can shoot. He can do all that stuff. And he's playing. He's not having to do too much. And he even said it. He goes, I'm more comfortable here because I'm the fourth option. He goes, I can just play throughout it. He goes, where I was the one and two when I was in these other places, now I'm just four. So now just give me a spot that I need to go to and I'll go to it and then I'll do whatever. He's their Brooke Lopez.
I mean, I'd take, yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's still blocking shots. He's a
better Brooke Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Porzingis didn't play tonight and Jaylen Brown didn't play tonight. And Boston still beat Philly, which is impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
So Philly,
good old, how many points did good old Al Horford have?
He went off a little bit. He went off a little bit in third quarter. He was hitting some threes, man. He was
there you go.
He was lighting it up a little bit. So I think Boston's now 9-2. And I think Philly dropped to 8-3. They lost a couple games in a row. They lost to Indiana.
Indy. Ooh.
Which is that's a hell of a young team to look out for. Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, it's got like something like 36 assists and zero turnovers in the last
Let them boys get going, and it's woof, man.
He said it's like playing 2K with the wide camera where you can see the whole court. He said that's how he's playing right now. It's like I'm playing 2K with the top down view where you can see the whole court happening. But yeah, man, that guy's averaging crazy numbers. You know, they're a team who always seems to be in games. And then like you know that's going on in the East, and in the West you got you know Dallas, they're rolling. You know the Lakers are struggling a little bit. They're getting stomped by the Kings right now.
Fuck the Lakers.
Clippers are struggling. Obviously Denver's rolling. So it's an interesting dynamic through the first 3 weeks to kind of see where the pieces are going to fall.
And then Golden State's just putting headlocks on everybody.
Yeah, bro. They're like the New World Order out there. They straight NWO'd them guys yesterday.
Jaymond Green tried to freaking legit choke somebody out.
Yeah, he yoked up Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert put his hands on Klay Thompson, though.
Yeah.
First, yeah, I mean, I'll take a Draymond Green on my team any day.
100%. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you don't win a chip without someone like
He's your 90s Knicks guy. He's your Charles Oakley.
He's your Dennis Rodman. He's your Dennis Rodman.
He's your Bill. No, he ain't Dennis. He's Bill Laimbeer. Fuck that.
Yeah, he's Bill a Bill Laimbeer. Yep. I can agree with that 100%. He's a Kevin McHale.
Charles Oakley. Bill Laimbeer, he's the piss any dude at the end of the bit or at the bitch that's like, fucking, I'm gonna go out there and if somebody does some stupid shit, I'm gonna clothesline them.
But he's so smart. He's such a smart player. Like, he really is. I mean, defensive player of the year a couple times. And
he was smart as hell last night. He knew Steph wasn't playing, and they're probably going to get their eyeballs beat out. So hey, let me just get kicked out of the game in the first minute.
Yeah, they still almost. That game was still pretty close, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that's another good team. Minnesota is a good young team. Anthony Edwards is. They better watch the fuck out with that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're I think they're what are they 8-2, 7-2? They're rolling right now. I mean they're
playing good
tonight,
basketball.
They're losing tonight to Phoenix, but it's only a matter of time before Phoenix turned it on a little bit. Yeah.
Phoenix is that team that's gonna be like, look, we need to just get into the playoffs, get everybody healthy, get in, and then we'll go from there. A lot of these teams are let's just get into the playoffs and then we'll go from there with everybody healthy. Yeah. Miami has won 5 straight.
Yeah, like I said, they're starting to turn it on.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but we won 5 straight, and we're 2-0 in the in-season tournament that I could give 2 shits about.
Yeah, I forget that's even a thing. And then Tuesdays
and Fridays, yeah.
I still don't understand it.
It's all for marketing money. It's all for those TV contracts. That's what they're doing
It's so we can put out those shitty ass fucking courts like the Bulls court that look like the old. Remember when McDonald's used to have the big red light that shined over the burgers and shit like that? That's what the Chicago Bulls.
It's court like the like. No, it's like the lamps with those like red cups from Pizza Hut back in the day. Like the
it was keeping it's keeping everybody warm and shit. Like,
oh yeah, you get red light therapy watching those Bulls games on Tuesday.
I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, who was like, you know what we're gonna do with this court? We're gonna make it red. Okay, well, what's the other color gonna be on it? No, I just said it. We're going to make it fucking red. We are going to blind everyone in the arena. No one gives a shit. It's just red. So what That's color funny. Should we wear to the games? Wear white so there's some contrast to the fucking court.
Yeah, man, I hear you. But we'll touch base on the in-season tournament as it kind of rolls around. But we've been going for about almost an hour and a half. So let's just get to our shout-outs. Anybody want to shout anybody out? Just plug your socials. I'll let Saul here go first.
Yeah, Get It How You Live podcast, available pretty much on every platform. Check it out. Shout out to Ross, shout out to Emily. And yeah, shout out to you guys for having me back on.
Where can we find you? What's your old
Man, I'm always so bad at this. What is my Twitter? Let me just look it up real quick right
DJ
now.
DJ Solly.
You don't have a Twitter.
DJ Solly. Oh, it's X. My bad.
Yeah.
I forgot. That's what it is. It's Solly D's. It's exactly what my name is on here, except just no space. There you go. Perfect. And then on Instagram, you can find me Solly_D's. There you go. Bam. Perfect.
There you go. Kev.
You can find me on X at KevinC2415 Facebook. Just look up my fucking name. And if you're in the Jacksonville area, you can also catch me doing trivia. Name That Tune trivia at V's Pizza in Fernandina Beach on Thursday nights at 7. And every other Friday. And every other Friday at El Jefe's Mexican Restaurante.
If you keep saying it like that, you ain't gonna have a job much longer.
Every on Friday, they don't listen to this shit. I ain't worried about it.
All right, well, you can catch me on X at @the_Paul_Mac, on Instagram at @thePaulMac520. You can follow the podcast at Balls in Our Court Podcast on Facebook, at BIOC Podcast on YouTube, at BIOC Podcast on X, Instagram, TikTok, all that fun stuff. You can follow Cortez at In the Mind of CP, and you can like, subscribe, follow us on everywhere you get your podcasts and all that fun stuff. And yeah, that's it. I did it. I made it through a whole show, and I'm proud of myself.
Job. Yeah, you should be. Good job.
There was 7 minutes there where you were gone. No, I'm just kidding.
No one's gonna notice that though. It's fine unless you watch it.
You know why no one's gonna notice? Because of the professionalism.
Because of you two guys. And the 100%.
And the greatness of the co-founder of this podcast.
Moi. I agree with Kev 100%.
He needs to come back on here more often.
I'm gonna credit it more to Kevin's ability to ramble.
Yeah.
And with that being said, Balls in Our Court Podcast, episode 13. We out ya.
Or for me, 413.
It won't let me stop.
Uh oh.
Push the button.
We're not stopping. All night long, 24-hour podcast.